basically what the podcast is. It's called Senior Care Academy. So it's just senior care providers and all the different spaces, talking about your story, talking about what's different about you. You can take all the social media, and if you want to share it, you can. It's just fun. We're all just people trying to help seniors. So
yes.
I like asking just like about you questions first, kind of gets the juices flowing. Where did you grow up and how did that affect who you became to get you into senior care?
Actually, ties a lot to what we're doing now because we work with a lot of veterans. My dad was in the Navy. So we were all over. We've got every branch in my family except for Coast Guard. Got like Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, all within like my immediate family.
Wow.
So I grew up doing that. And then we settled here in Utah after my dad got out of the military.
That's very cool. What was your favorite place to live throughout the military?
We were in Hawaii for like 6 years.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to beat.
That was nice. Yeah. Well, my mom's family's from there too. So I still have a lot of family there.
Really? Is your mom Hawaiian?
Not native Hawaiian, no. They've been there for a long time.
That's so cool. I've never been to Hawaii. I want to go. But what's the best compliment that you've ever received?
That is a good question. I think like one that kind of comes to mind recently is I was going to do an assessment for a client. And at the end of the assessment, she mentioned that she'd been really struggling with staffing and get someone there reliable. And she mentioned that she'd been sitting in a brief all day that hadn't been changed the other company like hadn't shown up in the morning. I'm like, oh, I can change that. Like, I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And just the gratitude for something so simple. Like, it's not hard to do. It didn't take much of my time. And I think just her and other people noticing that, like, complimenting for being aware of the situation.
Yeah.
Doing little steps to make things easier for them.
That's really cool. Just being aware of what's going on and taking
and, like,
time.
It made a huge difference for her, and she still brings it up 2 years later.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But, like, to me, it took 10 minutes, it was fine.
Yeah. But to her, it had this huge impact. Yeah. You took the time to just be there with her and not run off to whatever you had to do. Mm-hmm. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
I wanted to be an architect.
Oh, how come?
I like designing things and like buildings and structure. And I still think it's a lot of fun. Like I do a lot of like home remodeling projects when I have time. My husband always jokes that like when I finish one house, it means we have to move.
All the little home projects
are done. The next one. Yeah.
Do you have a life motto?
I guess I actually kind of do have one. It always works out.
It always works out.
In the end, it always works out. But yeah, I tell people that all the time. Like, they're getting frustrated. I'm like, it'll work out.
Yeah.
And it always does. Like, not the way you want it to. Definitely realizing this as I'm getting older. There's a lot of things that haven't turned out how I wanted them to or when I wanted them to. But it always does work out.
I went out to lunch today for a meeting, and the restaurant was slow because they didn't have people. And it's kind of along those lines, I guess, of it all, like, everything's going to be okay. It'll all work out. But there was a guy that was just, like, losing his mind at these people. He's like, I've been here for 15 minutes. It was a fast food place. And I've asked for my order 4 times. My thing that I like is it's like, you zoom out far enough, you can't see the earth. It's okay. Like, just relax. And so, kind of the same idea. Everything's going to be okay.
Zoom out enough and it's something so small.
Yeah, exactly. Home Helpers, that's considered, is that a personal care agency or would you just call it in-home
personal care?
Cool. What got you into personal care originally?
It was 12 kids in my family. I'm the oldest of 12.
Oldest of 12?
Yeah, oldest of 12. That's awesome. And the second from the youngest one, my brother Ben, he wanted me to start a business with him just because I'd been...
What's the age difference between you and Ben? If he's the second youngest?
14 years, I think.
Wow.
She had him pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like 12 kids in 15 years.
That's crazy. It was,
yeah.
Oh, I couldn't
really
imagine.
Fast. Me and the one just younger than me, it's like she had me and then a year and a half later had twins and like 13 months later had another one. So like four kids in 2.5 years. The twin that's just younger than me and him have done student housing mostly, like just a couple apartments near universities. So our youngest brother, Ben, knew that we had done that.
Oh, sweet. Like you owned the complex owned the
homes.
Just
a couple small ones. Yeah, we had a couple of condos and a small apartment building. And he knew that like because of that, we could help fund him getting started in business. And he's always wanted to be in business something.
Yeah.
His whole life. And I think we started when he was 22.
That's awesome.
He wanted me to do fast food and I kept telling him no.
Yeah.
He wanted a coffee shop. I'm like, nothing food.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay someone to flip burgers or fill up my coffee for me. It's not meaningful to me. So I told him, like, keep looking. I will start a business with you, but you have to find something that matters to me. And then he found this one. We got started.
So I feel like what gets you into personal care and working this way and then what keeps you in it are a little bit different.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
I think it's still back to, like, I told him he had to find something that matters. And I feel like it does matter. And not that my previous job didn't, or I teach school as well. I'm still teaching part-time this year, but I've had to tell them like my business is taking so much of my time. I can't afford to teach part-time anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. So it was my last year there. And that was meaningful too. I don't know what the difference is for me. They're both meaningful. I feel like I'm making a bigger impact working with seniors. One of the things I told my brother was it wasn't something meaningful for the community, but I wanted something that was meaningful for our employees.
Yeah.
I wanted them to like care about their job and be making a difference in the job they were doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like being a good employer to them and making a big difference for them and helping them to improve their lives.
Yeah. What's the biggest way that you feel like it's meaningful for you personally?
I think making a difference for all my employees, for the seniors too, but... Yeah.
What's the way that you try to make the biggest difference for your employees?
Supporting them, a lot of them, and I do have to at some point, you know, let people go if their attendance is bad, but trying to be understanding that everyone needs a different schedule. Like some people can't work an 8-to-5 job, and being able to be flexible with that and being able to be like, hey, I can work you just on weekends. If you just want to work 3 nights a week, I can do that.
Yeah.
Or we have some people that work like 1 day a week, like a 12-hour day, that 1 day a week. And I think being able to give that flexibility for a lot of people, they appreciate it.
The income that they need in their life, but being able to be flexible with their schedule. How many employees do you have these days?
About 160.
Wow. That's a lot of schedules to manage. Yes. That's cool that you're able to do that.
Not just
that flexibility. Yeah. But still.
Not only, but yeah.
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 That's awesome.
I feel like we're making a good impact through providing good employment.
Yeah. Are there things that you found that were more rewarding than you thought going into owning this company?
I think I didn't really expect to like the stories of the seniors as much.
Really?
Yeah.
Like their just, life like stories? To them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get really distracted when, you know, sometimes you've got other things you've got to get to. But I can sit there all day and listen. And I've always enjoyed working with seniors. Like I have, you know, a lot. My family's pretty close. I've worked with a lot of them there. But I've never really been in the senior industry before professionally.
Yeah.
And realizing like how attached you get to some of them. And like some of those clients we first started with 6 years ago, I still have such clear memories of them.
Wow.
And just all the ones throughout the last 6 years, they all become a part of you.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite stories that you've heard from one of your clients?
I like a lot of the military stories. We work with about 50% of our clients are veterans. So quite a few of them coming from like my family's all military.
Mm-hmm.
So I connect with that and just the stories of the things they do. Like we had one that flew the big cargo planes between like Hawaii and Midway, and he'd tell us like all the crazy things that they kind of got into trouble with. Like imagine a bunch of 18-year-olds on a, you know, island.
Yeah, I know. It's just crazy.
But yeah, they had some fun.
I guess, what do you feel like is the most important part of running a personal care company agency?
Being reliable. I think that's a lot of the clients that we get that are referred to us by, by caseworkers and people in the community. That's one of the reasons I say that we come, kind of like I shared the story earlier about the girl who had been sitting in a dirty brief because no one had come to change her that day. And we have to be reliable. Like they count on someone to be there. The reason they need care is because they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
So somebody has to be there.
What's the average age you'd say of your clients?
I think it's dropped a little bit from what it used to be. I think before we had quite a few more of the seniors, maybe in their 80s. We work a lot with people with disabilities now as well. About 30% of our clients are through Medicaid, and often that's more disabilities than seniors.
And seniors, yeah.
So probably like that 30% of our clientele is maybe 40s on average, 30s, 40s.
The other
side. And then we've got the other, that's more in the 80s.
Yeah. Home care can be so valuable for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time they get it after like some sort of life-altering event and they really need it. Mm-hmm. Are you guys doing anything to try to get in front of seniors and start working with them earlier than that? Or are you kind of just sticking with the 80 plus?
We haven't really. Like every once in a while, we start looking into things we could do for marketing, but we're honestly growing about as fast as we can handle through word of mouth.
Wow.
So awesome. We haven't tried to do any sort of marketing really. Like when we first got started, maybe for the first year.
Yeah.
We did. And we would go in and do like events at the senior center. And we'd invite guest speakers to come. Like we had a neurologist come talk about strokes.
Wow.
We would do events like that when we very first got started. We haven't recently. One of my big goals, once I can get it all set up, is to like have a community center up more in the Layton area where I'm based out of mostly, and be able to invite people to things like that and have a caregiver training center, even like for family caregivers, so they can just come to and learn.
What impact do you feel like that would have?
I think a lot of family caregivers don't understand like how to deal with their family as much. Like they don't know how to work with dementia or even some basic things like transfers. Like I've worked with a couple families and just showing them how to transfer somebody without hurting your back.
Yeah.
And they just had no idea. And something so easy can make a huge difference because now they can safely transfer their family member and they're not going to hurt their back and they're not going to drop the person they're trying to help move just because they had some education.
Do you feel like that's pretty common where there's just like a lack of education kind of on both mm-hmm. sides, on caregivers and
yeah.
the clients, where they don't really know what's out, the resources that are out there. Mm-hmm. And so they rely so heavily on their family, like the Medicaid programs or different insurance programs they might not mm-hmm. know.
Right. Like I've been taking care of my grandma. We moved her out here from Hawaii because we realized her dementia was getting pretty bad. Just some family out there had started to realize it and they just didn't know how to navigate the system out there. They didn't know what was available. So like, okay, let's move her to Utah. Like I'm really familiar with the system here. Mm-hmm. Being able to find the right supports for her and the right supports for our family to get her taken care of, it made yeah. a big difference.
It's cool being able to help people because you have the understanding and information. Just people just don't know a lot of time.
They're like, my aunt still keeps calling everything a nursing home. She doesn't realize like there's nursing home and assisted living, yeah. independent living and memory care.
So many options to help people. There's not a guidebook to being a parent. And there's also not a guidebook to having aging parents. You're kind of just shooting from the hip. And it's sad how many people are out there.
Another home care owner who lives in the South Suburban, which state, she's actually working on making a guidebook for taking care of seniors. Wow.
That's awesome.
An online one.
It is really cool. Something that I've noticed in the last few years is how just well connected a lot of senior care providers are. It really is just so much about connecting mm-hmm. and getting to know people and being a resource for each other. If you could go back 6 years ago and change something before getting into this, what would you change before jumping into a personal care agency?
I think I would have tried to work for one first.
Yeah, get some experience.
Yeah, like work for one first, or just like understanding all the systems you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we grew pretty fast at first, and then we kind of had to slow down what we were doing and like, okay, we need to get our systems in place because if we keep getting bigger from here, we're not going to be able to communicate effectively to take care of our clients the way they need to be taken care of if we don't have the right structure in place to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I maybe would have had a better idea of that structure.
Yeah. What do you think is a big misconception around personal care companies?
I'm getting confused with home health. People don't understand that there's two different companies. Kind of like they don't understand that assisted living and nursing homes are different. People don't realize that until it's time to look at them. Home health and personal care also being different industries that support each other, but we each do different parts of it.
Yeah. So trying to educate them a little bit on...
Right. Like the person that's sitting there, you know, all day with grandma and supporting them and feeding them and cleaning them isn't necessarily the hospice company or the mm-hmm. home health company.
Yeah.
They'll come in and do the medication management. They'll come do the physical therapy. They're not the ones that are spending the time with them.
And that's a big distinguishment too, I think, that people get is they're like, oh, can't you bill my insurance? It's like, well, not all the time.
Not usually.
So if you could wave a wand and fix like one major issue that you see in the industry, what would it be?
I think coming back to like people just not understanding what the industry is, like they don't understand that they need to prepare for it. And I wish more people knew when they were younger, what it was. When you're getting a life insurance policy, if you can get a long-term care rider, like it's not that much to add a rider, and you're much more likely to need long-term care than you are need life insurance.
That's true.
So I wish that people like understood how important it was to think about in the future and think about what care are you actually going to need when you're older so that you plan for it.
I actually didn't even know that about the long-term care rider. That's
yeah.
I learned something new today. I've learned lots, but that's awesome. Yeah, I've heard of long-term care, like insurance policies.
Yeah,
but
you can get the separate policy too.
Yeah, but just like the rider, right along with the mm-hmm. life. I need to.
Yeah, when you get a life insurance
policy, for my life insurance.
To do a long-term care rider. And it's just a long-term care policy, but it's attached to your life insurance. That ends up being like together, the price ends up being a little bit more.
But still like
affordable to have the two together. Kind of like if you bundle your home and your auto.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You bundle them together.
Say 15% or more.
Yes.
I guess, are there key things in your experience with getting going and everything with new clients, like key things that happen between somebody getting referred and then you starting with them that makes it the most successful like relationship?
Making sure everyone understands what the relationship is and setting all the right expectations. These are the services we're providing. Kind of getting back into that like home health versus personal care confusion as well. Like these are the services that we can't set up your pill box, but we can remind you that it's time to take it.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do wound care, mm-hmm. but you know, we can support you in scheduling, making sure that's getting taken care of, contacting the right people for you, and helping them understand what our role there is so they understand like what's going to happen and setting the expectation with staffing.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we find and train our caregivers. And this is what we do if like the caregiver is sick that day, we'll have someone else that's trained to come in, making sure it's clear expectations for everyone.
I had experience this week actually with not clear expectations. We had to communicate through the daughter. And then when we got there, the just like not clear expectations. It was not a good day. But we got back on track.
It's hard for family communicating too.
It is, like, rather than just talking directly, this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah, or like we've had family before tell us that, yeah, they can stand up just fine when we get there and they're non-weight bearing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just pick them up. Yeah. We have to do this safely so we don't drop anyone or hurt anyone. Or
get something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that you joined a community for home care companies. What's the best advice that you've gotten from a mentor in this space?
That was the clear expectations thing came from.
Really?
The community that I joined, it's a coaching program that I participated in. And one of the things they really push is making sure you have clear expectations for everyone, for your clients, for your caregivers, for your staff. It helps things run a lot smoother.
It's like a gold nugget to just have clear. Anybody that works with seniors, like I said, whether it's home health, I'm sure they have the opposite side of things where they have to set clear expectations or
hospice
is another angle. Yeah, it's like all these different angles of you have to tell exactly what the expectation is because people just don't know. So how would you define success?
I think just making sure everyone has the care they need. So making sure that they've got a caregiver there, taking care of the needs that they have, and making sure that the caregivers have what they need as well. So they have the training they need, they have the support they need, okay, so everyone's needs are met.
What is the biggest differentiator, would you say, between home helpers? And you're from, you said like Davis all the way to South Salt. Or like the bottom end of Salt Lake County?
We will do Box Elder in some situations. Cool. So we'll go up to Box Elder, we'll go out to Morgan, Davis, Weber, Salt Lake, Summit. And then we're also down in Iron and Washington counties.
Oh, very cool. And that is St. George.
Yeah, okay. St. George and Cedar City.
The counties down there, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. So what would you say sets you apart from and all the other companies out there?
Being reliable. We get that all the time from people that are, like I said, we don't market anymore. Word of mouth is keeping us going pretty fast. We're pretty busy with just intakes from word of mouth. And that's what everyone keeps telling us, is that they know that we will do what we said we'll do.
That's awesome. Who should reach out to you and how do they reach out to you if they want to get care set up?
They can reach out to us through, we've got several different phone numbers. So if you're north of Farmington, then it is 801-782-2988. Centerville through south end of Salt Lake Valley is 801-990-1755. I don't know our St. George phone number.
Okay.
But if you Google Home Helper St. George.
Okay, you'll come up.
I don't use that one as much.
Yeah.
It's a 435 number.
Okay, sweet. It's been awesome. I think what you're doing is awesome. It's cool that you're affecting 160 caregivers' lives and all of the equivalent lives on the other side where you're helping seniors.